again, it's that time again. Friday evening, 7 p.m. East Coast time. I am JT, your esteemed co-host. And of course, the man with the plan, and you know this is no chaser, Mac Williams is here. Let's get it going. What's up, Mac?
What's up, Jerry? How you been? How you been?
All right.
How's your week?
Not
hey,
bad. Yourself?
Man, my week was good until yesterday, but I'll tell everybody about that later. I had a good week overall. I just wanted to welcome everybody to the No Chaser Show. Glad you guys are on. Glad you guys are here, those who are listening. I hope you had a great week. We are back again today. I'm supposed to have our man Corey Allman with us, but we're going to see if Corey can stop being distracted and get on here. But if he doesn't, it's okay. Me and Jerry always have something to talk about. Just so you guys know, No Chaser Show is brought to you by Trinity Web Solutions. Trinity Web Solutions is your source for everything for your online presence. Please go over to trinitywebsolutions.org and start an account today. We have lots of things over here that can help your business, from emails to domains to, you know, all kinds of stuff. And just get over there and go see it right now. All right? Thanks. Week has been good, man. I mean, I was fine, and yesterday, man, I totaled my car, man, yesterday.
What?
Yes, I totaled my car. Yes, I did.
Get out of here.
Yep, and I walked away from it, but not a scratch. Coming home from working, doing some delivery and some other stuff, and I was coming home, and my cup fell out of off my seat. I didn't have nothing in the cup, but it startled me. I looked down, and when I looked back, that quick, I didn't reach down for it, but that quick I looked back, and I didn't, you know how you look like you're going straight, and then you look down, you realize a curve came. So I was going off the road, so I swerved, and then, of course, it went out of control. So I swerved, and you got to swerve back, and then you swerve back, and all I know is I dodged a telephone pole, a tree, and I saw this little bitty tree, and I hit mine, and all I heard was hit the brakes. I hit the brakes, and all I know is I hit the brakes, and I said, it's going to be what it's going to be. And I went, bam. And I hit it, but I hit it like just something at 7-Eleven. Like you might bump the curb, like just parking, but you're going slow, and you bump it. It hit like that. So it wasn't like I hit it hard. But it was up time because I hit that thing, and I'm dang.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I as soon as I stopped, I didn't, you know, like I said, I didn't jerk or I didn't fall up or, you know, get no whiplash or anything. So I got out. I know I'm okay because you know how you sleep, and if you're something wrong, you know, next day you'd be sore. I'm not sure at all. I'm normal, walked out of it. Thank God. All glory to God. I have this. Nothing but the grace of God that I came out of that. You know, here I am, but now I don't have a car, so you know, I'm trying to find a piece of a car now. So,
wow,
it's just one of those things, man, where you know, I don't know how to say it, man. It's just one of those things where my mind was flipping out because I was mad and I was like, man, what am I going to do? I can't work. You know, I can't pay this. I can't do that. I can't do this. You know, but my inner man, my inner spirit was very peaceful. And that was just the weirdest thing because I was like, I'm at peace, but then my head is going whack up.
Mm-hmm.
And today, you know, just to share with people today, I had to go in my son. And I had to apologize to the Lord. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, I apologize for not thanking you for me walking away from that. Because in my selfishness, I was thinking about the car, like the car or the work. What the heck? Of course, completely forgetting that I could have broke something, tore up something. I could have, you know what I'm saying? I could have healed, you know. And it was funny, and I don't usually talk like this, but I was telling the Lord, I said, I'm really sorry. I said, and I really thank you, and I'm appreciative to you that I'm here, that I'm walking. You know, and God broke it down to me. He said, you missed that pole. You missed that tree. I mean, that was a big, you know, telephone pole. That was a big,
Yeah, big trees and telephone poles really don't move that much.
They always win.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, looking back in my mind, I can't even fathom how I made it past both of them. It was just reaction. I remember swerving around both, but all of it I was going so fast. And I'm not saying I was speeding, but you know how you're going like, I mean, even if you're going 30 miles an hour, you know, 40 miles an hour, it's fast. You know,
right.
It's a lot faster than swerving. And
mm-hmm.
I dodged both of the tree. And, you know, God, the Lord really put it in perspective for me. And I literally heard him say to me, he said, you dodged the pole, you dodged the tree, and you hit the small tree. It could have been worse. You could have. I mean, the way I was freaking out about the whole thing, just, you know, just all distraught about it, you know, worrying about it. And he said, and the Lord said that you hit that little tree. It could have been worse. He said, you could have died.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about that, Mac, mm-hmm. and as you get older, and I wouldn't say just as you get older, but it, for me, as I get older, I appreciate it more that material things are just that, material things. For the most part, they can be replaced. Your body parts and your life can't be replaced.
And that was the thing that he broke it down one more time. He said you also could hit somebody, and you didn't have insurance. And when he broke it down and showed me that, I went like, wow. I was like, I'm sitting up here worrying about how I'm gonna get to work in the car. And the Lord said, it's literally what he said to me. He said, you are only down a car. One car.
That's right.
And you'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I never thought of it like that. You know, I never thought of it like, man, I'm just like one car from being okay. Like if I had
mm-hmm.
a car right now, I was going to work, I'd be just fine. And I didn't realize that. And that just, you know, sometimes God has a real way of putting things in perspective. You just feel like, you know, I just felt like I put my foot in my mouth. So, I mean,
well,
you
got to think about this, man. That's just a natural human reaction until you get a hold of yourself and realize what you just realized.
Exactly. And sometimes God has a real way of doing it, but in a loving way, not in a mean way, but just saying, do you really realize what could have been? You could have hit a person. Because if I was
mm-hmm.
thinking about it, I was like, it's going fast. I was up in somebody's yard. I was off in a ditch, but I was up in the upper part of the ditch near a fence. I could have hit somebody. Somebody could have been standing out there. I mean, it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. But somebody
right.
could have been standing out there smoking, anything.
Anything.
Yep. And then I was like, you know what? Because the policeman said, he was like, man, he's like, you had to treat you good. I said, but man, you ain't had that insurance. If you hit somebody, you'd be in trouble. I said, I know. I said, trust me, I know. I know. And I learned a lesson. I learned a couple things. One, I learned that it's always good to keep full coverage insurance, even if the car's paid off. I said, yeah, that's always good. I don't know. A lot of people say it's a waste of money, but I say, damn it, I would have had a rental car right now, and the insurance company would have gave me more than what I'm getting for the dang piece of car that was total. That's number one. So I learned that lesson. And then the other thing, I just learned that it's just important to just, you know, and I guess the reason why he got on me, Jerry, was not because of that, but because usually, 99.9% of the time, no matter what happens to me, I'm always right. I always think about the good part of it. Like, you know what? It could have been this. It could have been that. And I'm always appreciative. I'm always thankful. And that was the one time I was just like, ugh. And I think what God really showed me, too, is that I placed too much value on that car.
Well, that's the reason when you told me you were in an accident.
Right.
My first question was, are you okay? I wasn't worried about the freaking car. Are you okay?
Yeah. Gary, that's what everybody kept saying. And in my head, I just kept saying, I don't give a damn if I'm okay. So what, I'm okay? Well, I can't go to work. I can't pay. I mean, you know, that was my
mm-hmm.
And it showed me that I placed more value in the car. Not the fact that I liked the car because, oh, yeah, it's a Mercedes-Benz. It wasn't like that. It was because I valued my car as far as this is how I get around. This is where
what?
I get to be fit. This and that. And I shouldn't have. And now I know what to do. So.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
You're
down a car, okay? Okay,
yep.
You're down a car.
Yep.
That's it.
That's
so,
it.
I mean,
that was exactly what God was saying. Like, that's all you got
mm-hmm.
in the car. like it could be hold so much work. And I was like, wow. You know, and, you know, like I said, I don't need too many people. I don't need nobody that has a way of putting things in the sky. But you're just like, oh, shoot. Yeah, you're right. It could have been that. And I just didn't think of it that way. And I was like, you know what I think? You know, I said, I'm glad. I said, but I know it was nothing but the grace of God. There ain't no luck or nothing else in it. So I've been very blessed, man.
What's that phrase? There by the grace of God? So
man, go I. There by the grace of God. By the grace of God, go I. I mean, it's like so I tell everybody out there, man, learn to be thankful. Thankfulness is the key to happiness. It's the key to seeing things in the proper perspective. Because no matter how much we complain about our situation, there's always somebody who's in a worse situation.
Mac, you must have been reading my mind because I was just about to say that. I was thinking the same thought. I'm not even kidding you. I was thinking the same thought just before you said it. I was about to say it. And that's one of my favorite things to say when I hear people complaining, especially relatives and maybe my wife. I said, you know what? You think we got it bad? There's always somebody else has got it worse. So be thankful for what we have.
Exactly. And that's why I said, Jerry, it's just one of those things, Jerry, where I just go, man, you know, you just gotta, you know, I'm reading a book right now by John Maxwell called Thinking for a Change. I would suggest it's a good reading to anybody who wants to read it. John Maxwell has, like, the best book. Like, that is one of the, like, if I was on an island, it's just like, I'm going to leave you here on this island. And, you know, I'll give you some food, you know, and I had a choice between books and TV, I would have John Maxwell's book all day. And I was like,
okay.
This guy knows this because he really writes really, really good books. And all his books, if you read them, you would never kind of pick it up, but it's not overly. But he, all of his business, they're business books. They're books about business, how to be a leader, a 360-degree leader, all that kind of, he wrote those kind of books. But they're all based on biblical principles, and they work. He's not the guy who beats you down with 50 scriptures and everything is God. You know, he teaches you the principles. And he may dip in and put a little scripture in here or there, but you know what it's based on. But very good book, and it's called Thinking for a Change. The book talks about changing your thinking, thinking big, thinking big picture, thinking outside the box, and it's the truth. He said he's talking about how the intent, what impedes people from changing their thinking is their feelings. He said, but they don't realize that if you change your thinking, you change your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They got backwards. It's like, I'm not going to change that because they're too present. People that we should apologize to, we don't. Why? Because it's a pride thing. Because we feel like if we do it, we're going to be a sucker. You know, I feel like if I'm going to do it, I'm letting them get away with it. If I feel like I'm doing, you see what I'm saying? Instead of doing the right thing, because it frees up. If we start thinking, you know what, I don't want to go around carrying this grudge and holding this crap inside about this guy. Because he ain't thinking about me. So you know what, it's best for me to forgive him. But that doesn't mean I have to hang out with you. It doesn't mean I have to talk to you again or hang out with you or break bread with you. That don't mean that. But I can forgive you and let it go. You know, but it's for me. But if you never think that way, you always think, I'm going to hold grudges. I'm going to hold this. I'm going to hold that. And you know, and you got bitter people who walk around all their life and they're mad at everybody. You're like, do you have any relatives that you do talk to? Do you have any friends that you do talk to anymore? You know, how long is it going to be everybody else and not you? So, you know, it's a really good book, and it just talks to you about thinking in business and how to attain things. So it's really, really a good book, and it has little chapters at the end where it makes you think right and think about what you're doing, really apply it. So that's a really good book. So I'm learning a lot about that. I would suggest I would suggest if you ever on your computer, Jerry, is get on YouTube and put in John Maxwell and listen to his, he has lessons and things on there, like he's been talking about his books like that. And the principles, I think you find very, very good. I mean, it's very, very good. Not really crazy stuff, but it's just, you know, all kinds of things. So, with that being said, Text Corey. He has an answer. He'll probably call in late again, I guess. I don't know. I'm worried about it. The show goes on. But I did, you know, like I said, I did want to...
Oh, you know what? I want to ask before you go any further. I've been seeing you on Facebook, and you seem like you're obsessed with lately with LeBron James. What's that all about, man?
Well, that's about me and a friend of mine yesterday, Lou White, were talking, and Lou is one of the few people that I know that I can talk about it with, LeBron and Katie, because Lou White is coaching and he trains pros and trains, you know, people. And he also played in the NBDL and played with a lot of NBA players, you know, throughout the ranks. Now, he's retired now, so now he's in the college and camp and all that kind of stuff. But we're talking about it. And my point is with the whole thing, it's not an obsession. It's just the easiest way to do it is this. I'm kind of disturbed by two things. One is God is starting to show me propaganda and just media propaganda. You know, me and you talk about political stuff sometimes, and you know, I see the propaganda on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I see propaganda in the media all the time.
Sure.
But now it's seeping into sports, and it's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like a no-no. Because it's like, okay, political, okay, I understand, because there's high stakes, high drama. That's cool. But not in my sports, man. This is Saturday stuff, man. This is just the slippers and the pajamas, man. It ain't that serious. You know what I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
One of the things is this, my problem with the whole LeBron KD thing is that they keep saying LeBron James is the best player in the world. He's the best player in the NBA. And I don't believe that. And the reason why I don't believe that is based on skill set. If skill set breaks down to what a guy, a tool, a weapon, something that a guy has, a skill that he's developed, and he's added to his game, and he used it, and he's very well at it, and he's very adept and very good at what he does. And when you look at the skill set, you look at a guy like a LeBron James. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll tell anybody. Great player. Do I think he is the best player in the league? No, not by far. Kobe, healthy, is better than LeBron James. Why? Because they can do more with their skills to affect the game than LeBron can. Now, I'll give you an example. If I'm looking at two guys, and just think about this, Jerry, you're playing pickup basketball,
mm-hmm.
and you're looking at two guys. One guy has got a terrific handle; he can get anywhere on the floor he wants, and he's got a pull-up jumper. Okay. The other guy, he's 6'8". He can run down the floor straight away on the break and dunk the hell out of the ball. But he has an inconsistent three-point shot, which is, you know, streaky at best. And he can't break the guy. He can't dribble. He can't break a guy down one dunk. He doesn't have a handle like the other guy to get anywhere on the floor he wants. He has to give it out to somebody and depend on somebody to give it to him in another spot. It's a repost or a re-whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That means that for the one guy, he doesn't have a dribble. That's not a skill. That's an important skill to have. Okay? So if I'm picking a guy between those two, I'm going to pick the guy who can create his own shot and get anywhere on the floor he wants. Because I don't need a guard to always have to give it to him in a spot. He can get there himself. He can break a guy down one-on-one and pull up on him inside the three-point line, outside the three-point line. The other guy can't do that. Now, he's a bully on the block. And yes, here's the point. He gets it done. He gets it done with his limited skills. But at the same time, I'm not going to give him the mantle of being the best, better player than the other guy, when the other guy clearly has more weapons and more skills in his skill box than he does. So that's my whole breakdown. My whole breakdown is, if, you know, you got a guy who you're calling a superstar who can't dribble. That's ridiculous. You got a superstar. You got a guy who you're saying is the best player in the league, and this guy can't pull up a jumper inside of the three-point line to save his life and hit it consistently. He'll hit it once in a while, but he's not consistent. See, I look at it, Jerry, as a coach, as somebody who's coached people and look, you know, trained people and looked at it. I look at the game different than the fans. And I was talking to Lou yesterday, and he broke it down to me. He said, Mac, I don't talk to fanatics. He said, I call fanatics people who just watch the game and they enjoy it. They enjoy the game, but they don't look at it because they haven't done it. They haven't played at that level. Or they haven't played, you know, they played maybe some high school, some college. He's just like somebody sitting there telling somebody who's a good high school player or not, and that person never played. You know, how can you make that judgment? And you've never played.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's just like, you haven't even played the game. He said, or you haven't even been close to that level. He says, you can't talk to fanatics because fanatics will always say things, which if you read any of the stuff I've been saying on Facebook, you'll see what I've been saying. And I was like, they always want to, they just want to be right because they like the guy. So instead of admitting, okay, Jerry can't shoot, they'll say, man, Jerry can't shoot, but he can post up. He can pass the ball real good because they really like Jerry. And what they really want to say is, I don't want to say Jerry can't do it. So I'll jump the argument to somewhere else. He has two rings. Jerry has two rings. Okay, but Jerry still can't dribble. We're talking about when you use the word, he's the most complete player. To me in basketball, when you say complete, that what does complete mean? Complete means everything. He is totally sound. He's not missing. Complete means nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing. So when
right.
you call LeBron the most complete player in the league, I'm saying that's bullcrap. Because he can't dribble. So I'll break it down this way, the way I break it down to everybody. KD can shoot from anywhere 30 feet in. Okay? KD can dribble through up and down the floor. There's not a spot he can't get to. He's got a handle. You got a hard problem with getting it. His handle is like a guard. He can play the one or the two. It don't even matter. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got a guy who can shoot from the three consistently at 40%. You got a guy who can break his man down one-on-one off the dribble and pull up in a guy's face and shoot straight over him and hit the shot. Even in the paint, pull up in the paint short and put it like that, okay? Now, when you look at LeBron, LeBron scores two ways. LeBron only scores on the break. And he only scores on the 3-point line. Those are the two places he scores, okay? He may post up every now and then, but that's not really his bread and butter. His bread and butter is that 3-point line. His bread and butter is getting it on the break. That's his bread and butter. LeBron can't break his man down one-on-one because he has no dribble. If you stand close enough to him as a defender, he'll take his arm or he'll take his elbow and he'll hook around you and propel himself to the basket. Great. Athletic. No doubt about it. So when I look at both of them, I'm saying, how can this guy, who's 6'8", can jump out the gym, but he can't dribble, he can't pull up from the paint, he can't pull up anywhere inside the 3-point line, he can't break a guy down one-on-one, how can you say this guy is better than this guy? Because I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me. And for the people who are the casual fans of LeBron, they don't see that. When I break it down like that, they jump some. Well, he got two rings. Rings and, you know, let me give a newsflash to everybody on here who's listening. MVP and rings don't play the game. They don't play. They're not a skill. Okay? They are a recognition. And they're voted on by human beings who have feelings, who have favorites, who can do whatever they want and are fallible. Okay? So stop throwing that in the argument. When you talk about the most complete and who's the best player, the MVPs and the rings don't necessarily mean that, because you and me, Jerry, have been alive long enough to know that some guys don't always get what they should. The guy
right.
who gets the MVP ain't always the guy who should get it. The guy who should get the ring ain't always the guy who get it. Now, rings, you win them legitimately, I'll give it that. But as far as MVPs, All-Star vote and all that, man, that's fan base. That's based on how people feel. You know as well as I do how many times we've seen people who should have got an MVP and did. And you're looking at it going like, there's no way in hell. I mean, that's what sports radio is all about, is debate about who should have got it, why he didn't get it, he should have got it. His stats were better than he, why didn't he get it? You know, So that whole thing is, what I'm trying to do is educate all these people, number one, that LeBron is not better than KD as far as skill set and being the most complete. And I break it down by skill set. So I'm not saying this as a fan. The problem is that I know KD, so people think that I'm saying it because I know KD. And I'm like, no. If I was just sit here saying it and never gave you a breakdown and told you the reason behind it, could explain it to you, then you would have a point. But I'm not saying this based on anything but pure. You can go to the film. Here's the thing. The film don't lie, Jerry. You can go look at the film, and it will bear out what I said. But people choose to ignore because they're more interested in being right about their argument and keeping their hero at the point where they have him at, and that's all it is, too. And you can't, and like Blue said, you can't talk to those people because they frustrate you, because they don't never, they're not, they want to debate. They ask questions, like people ask me questions all the time. Well, where would you rank Tony? Where would you rank LeBron? I said, I might rank LeBron number 2 6, but I believe he wouldn't be number 1, and you can't use the word most. That's crazy. Because to be honest with you, and I prove my point. If Kobe's healthy and was playing the whole season, I put him and KD at number 1 and 2. Because his skill set is better, or it's both tied. Because everything Kobe can do, KD can do. They can both do the same thing. There's not one thing that Kobe can do that KD can't do. He can pull up the jumper, he can have the handle, he can get past you, he can break you down 1-on-1, he's a scorer, he can rebound, he can, I mean, it's like, what can he do? And then when you look at LeBron, you look at him, and you think, can he do the same thing Kobe can do? No, everybody knows that. Common sense tells you that, because people don't lie.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, not to interrupt you, but let me ask you this. Say, give you a hypothetical. Okay. LeBron's got two rings right now. Next few months, June, I think it's going to be the NBA Finals. Say the Thunder are in the Finals and KD finally winds up winning a championship. Is he going to be elevated to the best player in the NBA over LeBron? Because of that, or is he, well, quite naturally, you think he is now, but let me put it this way. Is the mass media going to acknowledge that he's the best player in the world?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you're telling me it's a popularity contest. Is that what you're telling me?
Because they picked their fate to the league, and they've done everything they can journalistically for former players, broadcast people, and the NBA have done everything they can to help this guy be the face of the league. Because think about it. For 7 years, he didn't win squat. And then all of a sudden, when he gets to Miami, now everybody's pushing to make sure that he gets what he gets. See, you can't sit and tell somebody, this guy's the best player in the world, and he has no hardware.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep giving him all this hardware. You give it like the MVP thing. For him to have 4 MVPs, that's bullcrap. I don't think he's been an MVP for over 4 years. 2 of the years he won the championship, yeah, but not the 4, not the other 2. The other 2 years it was, and like I said, they did the same. To be honest with you, they did the same thing with Michael Jordan. Because remember, everybody loved Jordan, but who couldn't he get past? Couldn't he get past him? Because they was roughing him up, and they wouldn't let him have it. And now before Jordan, the same rough play went on. Nobody said a word. When Jordan got roughed up, guess what happened? After about that 5th year, when they were tired of us stopping him, they wanted to make sure he got there. Guess what they did? That's when things started changing from being physical to where they are now. Everybody started blowing the whistle when you touch him. Blow the whistle when you bump him. Blow the whistle when you even reach in on him and you look like you found him. So they wanted to make sure that the guy Jordan was going to be the face of the league. And if he's going to be the face of the league, you got to get some hardware. You got to get some. Now, do I believe that Jordan's whole career, the NBA, helped him? No. I believe he earned probably, I would say he earned 5 of the 6 rings. The first one, when they got past the Pistons, that was given to him. And then after that, the rest was all, I'll give it to Jordan. Now, the rest of it was all Jordan. It was all him. It was that team. They all bought in. They all played. I'm not going to even go that far. But they have an interest. They've done that. They've always done that. Come on, man. When Magic was a little bit different because Magic was so good. Magic came in and won his first year. He was on such a good team, and he was so good that he came in and immediately hit the floor running. Okay? But they wanted to. They wanted to go pay. I mean, look at what they did with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. They squeezed every bit they could get out of that for that rival. They created that rival, and it squeezed it. So, do I think KD would be the best player in the league if he won the championship? Nope. Do I think that he will be the best player, that he'll be elevated to the best player in the league at some point? Yes. Because he's 25 years old. LeBron, 28, 29?
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin's going to have his day. He's going to have his dominance. He's dominating now, but I'm just saying he's going to have his day where he's going to be the face for a while. And that's what they're going to do. And, I mean, that's how it goes. But now, it's too soon. They want LeBron to get 3-4. To be honest with you, and if you, I don't know if you read my post, but I told him, I said, mark my words, when this is all said and done and it's over, they're going to try to make LeBron better than Kobe and better than Kobe. Watch what I say. And when they do it, I'm going to tell you, Jerry, I told you so. That's where they're going with it. Trust me, they're already doing it. Trying to talk about, oh, he's better than Kobe. I'm like, you've got to be out of your mind. And I'm not even a Laker fan. And I know that's crazy talk. The only person who can be compared to Jordan right now in that conversation is Kobe.
It's Kobe. Yeah, I truly believe that. I definitely agree with you with that. I think Kobe is better than LeBron.
You can't sit there and I mean, LeBron got a long way to go to even get in the conversation with either one of those guys. I mean, it's just, I mean, five rings? Come on, man. Not to say we count rings, but I'm just saying if you want to talk about hardware, well, Michael Jordan got it. Kobe got the ring, you know, but you know, the most hardware, Jordan got the most hardware altogether. You know, and the only thing I think that separates Kobe and Jordan is what I've always said is that Kobe never won anything. He's not a defensive player. He doesn't play defense. He can, but he's never won a defensive player of the year award. That's the only thing I've seen he's one defensive player down and one ring down. That's it. But he's in the conversation. He has every right to be in that conversation. Every right. And, you know, so do I believe that? No. I just believe that, I don't know if you read some of the stuff. LeBron had on the black mask, they literally were, journalists were literally writing articles like this dude was a superhero with his very, very, with his merry band of men. I mean, they were literally using the word superhero.
Yep. Yeah, I know that.
And I posted on my thing, I was like, this shit's got to stop. Like, this is getting to the point where it's ridiculous. Like, come on, dude. I've never heard reporters sit and talk about a guy like he's some kind of superhero or some guy. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And that's why I keep trying to tell everybody, it's propaganda. So a lot of my stuff that I'm posting, it's a lot about propaganda, how they're propping up, making LeBron better than he is. And me and Lou talked about this yesterday. We both predict the same thing. We think that LeBron's going to leave Miami and go somewhere else, whether it be L.A. I believe it's going to be L.A. or I believe it's going to be New York. He'll go to one of those spots. And then he won't have the same cast that he has as a team.
You there, hello? Don't tell me it happened again. Mac, you there? Mac, are you there? Here we go again, people. Lost Mac. Hopefully Mac will call back. Because he had some good points talking about Kobe and LeBron. And Michael Jordan. Unbelievable. Let me see if I can get Mac back here again. See if I can get him back. Three, four, one, six. Let me see if I can call him back. Mac, how come I can't get you? You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, what happened, man?
I have no idea. I don't know. You know it's live radio. Anything happen with these things on phones. But I just want to bring it to my next point is that, you know, that's my other point I want to bring out in this political stuff is that I'm encouraging people on both sides. Really start doing your research. Stop listening to the commentators. All you can listen to them, but check the facts. Go do your own research. Those are the people saying, so-and-so said this, and so-and-so said that. They said this, like, okay, yeah, all right. You know, like I had somebody tell me, you know, something about Obamacare, and I was like, okay, you don't believe me. well, you know, the CBO is this, okay, have you been to CBO.gov? No. Okay, well, you need to go on there and read the report. You need to read that. In other words, because what people don't realize is propaganda's power comes from the fact that we're late. If I sit in front of the TV all day and listen to nothing but news, I believe it. And that's the thing. If you say it, they believe it. If you say it long enough, you believe it. If you say it long enough and we say it in different ways and keep putting it, keep saying it. And that's what they both use. Both sides use the same thing. And I'm just telling people, you got to stop this. You know, you can't let propaganda get you because these people are pushing an agenda. It's not Walter Cronkite anymore. You know, Walter Cronkite gave you the news and that was it. He didn't give you no commentary. He didn't give you no comments. He didn't give you how he felt. He gave you straight news. It's March 31st, 1966. It's Walter Cronkite, CBS News. Good night. That was it. You didn't get no banter, no nothing. You didn't know what Walter Cronkite thought about nothing, did you?
Mm-hmm.
He just told you to let you decide for yourself, Jerry.
Right.
It's not like that anymore. It's not like that anymore. And now we just gotta wake up, man. Because I'm telling you, man, the media, sports media now too, this is propaganda, man. They figure out who they like. They figure out who they want to push and make a star. Don't want to make a star.
Mac, what you're saying, I said when we first started the show and talking about politics, I told you that's the reason why I don't watch TV or read the newspapers. I hear about certain things, and if I'm interested enough, I'll find out information for myself. But I don't listen to any of these programs because depending on what side you are, they pander to that side. So, you know, so they're going to slant it to whoever their listening audience is.
Yeah, but here's the thing. But the listening, it's not bad listening to it, but here's the difference. The difference is you need to go do your research. I'll give you an example. If Fox is saying something about Obama's approval rate, don't believe it. People on there say it. Go look at the Rasmussen poll. Get what I'm saying? If you're going to say, if people are going to say the Republicans are down this way and it's a poll that says it, go look at the poll. Don't depend on them to tell you that the poll says this. Because if you notice, like I tell these young kids in school, when I'm substituting, I tell them, I say, look, there's a little thing on there when they show you graphs and show you things on the news, they tell you where the source is. This source. Go to the source and go look it up and find out for yourself. Don't let nobody just tell you that. When you listen to Obama sit at the speeches, okay, and he says stuff, you know, he says stuff about there's been all this job growth and there's been this and this and that. Okay, don't just believe it because he say it. Go find out. Go look at the report. Go to any.
Well, you can slant numbers any way you want to show whatever you want. So.
When you see
numbers and stats on TV, that could be a half truth or one portion of whatever that subject matter is. So
right, but
you got I
just,
take that stuff with a grain of salt, and just like you said, you got to do your research and find out the whole truth, not just the slanted truth.
Right, but all I'm saying is, if we're going to get something, what I'm saying is, if you're telling me the source of what you just put up there is from the CBO, I'm going to go look at the CBO. I'm not saying the numbers are Bible, but at least I can go there and look and go, okay, you know, I can see that. Because even Obama or even the Democrats and Republicans both say that the CBO is a nonpartisan group. That's what they do. They report numbers. They report on reports on government things. That's what they do. That's what I do, work for government. So I'm saying when I look at those numbers, I'm going to look at them and go, oh, okay, that's cool. Now, if it's Jerry's poll on his own blog, then, yeah, that's different. I'm not going to believe Jerry's blog. I'm like, okay, I hear you, but you know, I don't know about that. You know, if Rasmussen has something about, you know, the president's poll numbers, I'm going to believe Rasmussen, but I'm going to go look and make sure that that's what it says, that's what it actually says, because Rasmussen's been around for years. They've done presidents for ages. So I'm just saying you got to know your source, but at the same time, go check your source. Don't do it just based off because a guy is a Democrat, and I'm a Democrat, and so I believe everything he says out of his mouth. And I'm a Republican, and I'm a conservative. You know, I'm a conservative. I'm not even. I'm a independent. I'm an independent. I'm a conservative. But at the same time, I still go and research what was that number. If they say, you know, the president's approval numbers are down, Rasmussen had it, I'm going to go look at Rasmussen and go look at the numbers. I'm going to go look at the articles around that article and see what they're saying about it. And then I make my own decision. But I'm going to make an informed decision. I'm going to be able to say, Jerry, the reason why the president's numbers are down is because I read in Rasmussen that it was this, 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 and this. Now, you just sit and say, anybody can slap the numbers, blah, 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 blah. If that's what you believe, that's fine. I respect that. But at least you won't, but here's my point. But at least you can't ask me, well, how do you know that? And I go, duh, I don't know. Or I make up something crazy. That's my point. And I'm trying to tell you, see, stop listening to your parents all the time about this stuff. Find out for yourself. You know, I don't literally tell them don't listen to your parents, but I guess what I'm trying to tell them is do your own research. Find out if you, it's okay to like a side. It's okay to pick a side. That's what you got to do. I mean, Democrats become Republicans. And Republicans don't become Republicans just so they don't have to be Democrats. I mean, they believe the ideas behind it. Great, good. But if you're going to stand up for something, know your facts. If you're going to talk about a bill, know what the bill is. Go read the bill. Go read all the articles and different reports and different things about the bill. Don't just sit and say, I don't like that bill. Why? Well, because so-and-so said last night, because look at what so-and-so. And I'm speaking of Fox, too. I check in on MSNBC. I hang out in MSNBC sometimes. I'm looking at the other side door. I see what the vampire's doing. And I come over on my side and I see what the other people doing. I mean, I check out both sides. And I go and do my research and I form my own opinion, which is what news was used to be. Like I said, you remember when Walter Cronkite, who else? There was a whole bunch of people, Sam Donaldson, a whole bunch. They just reported the news. They didn't give you all these opinions. Now it's, let's push our agenda, you know. So, you know, I'm just telling people, man, we gotta do better, man. With the research. You know, I don't know, but all I know is this. I'm gonna say this, Jerry, and you probably won't like it, but you know what? I'm laughing at Obama because, I mean, my man Putin is just being like, whatever. I mean, and to be honest with you, I'm just laughing because I'm just sitting here going like, Obama's not gonna do shit. He's gonna do nothing. And I'm so sick of him not doing nothing. I'm like, dude, like, how?
Well,
how
wait a minute. When you say he's not going to do nothing, you don't think in a somewhat way that his hands may be tied because there's not any cooperation between the two sides of the aisle? And it's virtually a stalemate?
But that has nothing to do with what Putin's doing. He just told Putin, don't go in and do it. I'm not talking about, this has nothing to do with Congress. I'm talking about him telling Putin, you can't go over there in Ukraine and go over there and start, you know, messing with people up. You can't do that. That's wrong. We're going to put sanctions. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. Putin's going to keep doing what he wants to do. That has nothing to do with Republicans or Democrats.
Well,
that has to do with
I understand it, but... You know, when you're dealing with a superpower, especially someone like Russia, who is the next superpower, basically next to the United States, you got to virtually walk a tightrope on what you say and how you say it and when you say it, because the volatile nature of the country that you're talking to, and the long history that the United States has with the People's Republic of Russia. So I understand what you're saying, but it's not all that cut and dry. You can't do a George Bush and say, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. Not with a country like Russia.
No, I'm not even talking about war. I'm not talking about war. What I'm saying is, for instance, give me another example. Assad, he told Assad, Assad must go. There's a red line. Don't go over that red line. There's going to be consequences and there's going to be problems if we find out.
You can't do that, though. That's just it. I understand what you're saying.
Right,
I understand what you're saying. You don't think that this does not talk back and forth or certain things that are being discussed behind closed doors. But you can't come out in the public, especially against a superpower, with a country that's as so strong as Russia, and come out and publicly say things that will piss for lack of a better word, piss him off. Because
he's
a super
off anyway, he's doing what he wanna do. It don't matter.
Well, I understand that, but you know things are being talked out or people are talking to each other behind closed doors.
Jerry, y'all may not like me for this, but let me tell you something. Ain't nobody scared of Obama. Ain't nobody scared of the United States. Nobody is afraid of Obama. Not one country. Not them, like Iran, they're not scared. Assad and them.
Wait a minute.
Who's ain't scared?
You're talking about Iran. Iran's a hell of a difference than Russia. That's a huge difference. They're not even in the same ballpark.
They don't respect, but I'm just talking about, here's what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is this. Obama has come out and said different things about sanctions and about doing stuff to other countries. He did it to Iran. He did it to Assad.
What I'm saying is, you can't, that Iran is a pimple on the United States butt compared to Russia. They're not even in the same discussion.
They are now. You don't know why?
Well, no, Iran is a small country. Iran's a small country compared to Russia. Russia's got a long story history of being a superpower. Iran?
Okay.
No.
I got you.
Iran, Iraq, all the, any of those countries, these are superpowers. You're talking about the United States. You're talking about Britain. You're talking about Russia. You're talking about China and Japan. Those are superpowers.
Okay. If you're talking about, here's what I'm talking about. I'm gonna break it down to you. Is Russia a superpower?
Yes, absolutely. And you gotta watch how you talk to a superpower.
Okay, let me finish. Is China a superpower?
Absolutely.
I got you. Is Iran a problem? Are they a superpower?
No, they're not.
Wait a minute, hold on. Based on the reputation of what a superpower is and the definition of what we have, no, they're not. But Iraq is enriching uranium. I bet they got motherfucking United States attention now, don't they? Yes, they do. We don't want you to have that. Because if y'all crazy, wait a minute, hold on. Because if y'all crazy butts get it, they ain't China. They ain't Russia. They don't have no restraint. But they're not a superpower. But a nuclear bomb is still a problem.
I understand that. But
I don't care if it's a superpower. What I'm trying to tell you is Putin and China sit and watch what you do. I don't care if you're a little bully, if you're a little dude, whoever you are. I'm going to bring it to you. Okay, I'm going to break it down in the street fashion. Jerry, if me and you know, if I know you're going to fight me and I'm going to fight you, we know if I fight you, we got to fight. And I'm not going to push you over. You ain't going to push me over. We know that. And everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Them the two bullies on the block. Them two right there. And then my man John over here, he a bully on the block. Cool, no problem. So all of us, we fighting hand to hand. But we don't really fight each other no more because we done both got knocked. We both pretty much know we done kicked each other's ass. You know what I'm saying? So we have respect for each other. So if we get into it, it's going to be something. It ain't going to be over no stupid stuff. And we ain't going to bully each other. So we're going to try to sidestep. We're going to try to talk it out. We're going to try to get it. Because we don't really want nothing. Because we know we're going to get it.
Right. Okay?
So if I have a reputation, me, you two are looking at me. So I'll give you a better example. But let's say y'all two support than I am. So let's say this new guy comes on, and he replaces one of the other two, okay? Now, you got this little dude who just came to the neighborhood, and he started running around. He kind of cuckoo. He all right, but he don't have no restraint, okay? He ain't restraining like the other three of them. He's dangerous. You want to know why? Because, see, he ain't had enough of an ass whooping. He ain't dealt with none of us. And he's really not scared of us. You want to know why? Because, number one, we laughing at him like, man, this dude ain't going to do nothing. Man, we smash that little dude. You know, he ain't going to do nothing. We starve him out. We do a little stuff to him, whatever. Okay, now he got an AK-47 in the neighborhood. Oh, that's a problem.
Now because we the big bully on the block, And this is just like a little like your like a, if you had a son, okay? The son grows up to a certain age. Wait a minute. The son grows up to a certain age, and now he challenges dad. Okay, dad's the big man on the block. Son, 12, 13 years old now. So he start feeling himself, and he's gonna try dad, and dad's gonna say that ain't happening, and he's gonna come at him hard. Just to let him know that I'm still the big dog. And you got to know your place, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. When the United States, that's how they approach these small countries that come up and think they something. They come at them hard versus a superpower that starts to make some noise. They come at them in a more diplomatic way because the fact is they know the consequences if the two superpowers decide to do battle versus a small pea on a pod that is trying to feel itself or feel themselves. When you can, flex their muscle and take them out with no problem, because they don't have the wherewithal and the means as a superpower.
Okay, so let me go back to my example. So let me continue the example. The reason, mm-hmm. Let's say this. The reason why what you just gave, the example you just gave, you want to know why that works? The reason why it works with you coming at the 13-year-old when he's feeling himself, you know why? Because somewhere down the line, he's going to try you. But guess what? Deep down inside, he realizes, oh, I done had that before. I ain't trying to go there. He realizes. He catches himself because you whipped his ass before. You put it on him before. He knows. See, there's a point when somebody knows you're going to whip their ass and they think you're going to whip their ass. And right now, what I'm trying to tell you is, Putin and the rest of them are watching how Obama handles the little guy, and Assad, and the other one. And when he's soft on them, and they don't do nothing, and he says stuff, and then he threats, and then he don't back it up, guess what they say? Well, he ain't shit. They ain't gonna do nothing to me. What are you gonna do to me? Look what he's doing to them. They ain't doing nothing to them. And I'm telling you, that's what's going on. I'm telling you that. Now, yes, will he use diplomacy with Russia? Of course he's going to use it because he don't. You're right. Absolutely, I agree with that. But what I'm saying to you is that he set himself up with Putin to thumb his nose at him because he's seen how he dealt with the other one, because he's not a man of his word. He's not a man who does what he says he does. He said if Assad killed his own people with the chemical gas, there was going to be consequences. He didn't do shit. He found out he didn't do nothing. Now, your man in Iran still enriching uranium and doing, and wait a minute. And then they treated Iran like they treat Russia. They actually backed off and let them have some stupid peace treaty and let them enrich uranium. And believe in them that they're saying, no, we enrich uranium for no bomb. We just enrich uranium just, you know, to put on our plant. Come on, man. All I'm trying to say to you, Jerry, is this. All I'm saying to you is this, Jerry. It's like the guy in the neighborhood. I'll give you a better example. It's like the guy in the neighborhood who's a loan shark. He don't let nothing go. He don't let you owe him anything, he's going to come, he's going to break your leg, break your arm, he's going to whoop your ass. He's going to do it, okay? And that goes for everybody. And even it goes for the little guy. And especially with the little guys, he's going to get them, and he ain't going to let them get away with it, because he knows if I don't let them get away with it, then the other people around in the community are going to know that they can get away with it, too. Because the first thing they're going to say is, you let so-and-so get away with not paying back your money. And that's how it runs with loan sharks. So what I'm saying to you is that Obama is the big boy on the block, big country on the block. And what I'm saying is he's too many times, which I don't agree with coming out and making threats and saying, if you do this, we're going to do that. You can't do that unless you're prepared to back that up. You can't. It works with your kids. You can't tell your kids, you can't tell your son, Jared, you know, if I come home and you ain't clean up your room, I'm whooping your ass. And you come home and his room still busts up and you don't whoop his ass, what you think your son just learned? That ain't a man of his word. He ain't whooping nobody's ass. After a while, you mm-hmm. hear three or four. That's what your son said. Old man ain't going to do shit. That's what he's going to tell his boy. He ain't going to do shit. And that's what I'm telling you, and that's what they're saying out here. Now, you're right. Diplomacy with Russia, China, I understand that. You don't go smack at them. You don't fly your planes in and fly drones and do all. You ain't going to cool like that. I understand that. But what I'm saying to you is that he's handling the little pimples, and he's not doing what he's supposed to, so the big dudes look on the block and go like, this dude's soft. He ain't going to do nothing. The dudes he could crack down on and go in there and show strength, he ain't. So why should I worry about me? And I know I got a stack of balls. I know he ain't going to come at me like that. But he letting them get away with it? Man, this dude ain't a man of his word. still think twice if he would handle the other people the way he should handle them, and then you come. Because you get, like I said, I'm a firm believer in peace through strength. Because, like I gave you an example, I'm going to have peace with you. Because you know why? Because you already know my strength. You already know I can't run up on McIntyre. We already know our man John over there. We're going to run up on John because we already know. It's peace through strength. It's peace because you know, I know that if I go over there and fuck that chicken's going to bite me.
Mm-hmm.
He gonna get you. So you don't even come over there. When you know you're going to, a bully don't go to people that he know he's going to get a fight. He only goes to the ones he know he won't get a fight or he'll get a minimal fight. And that's all I'm saying is I wish Obama would fuck up and just stop. I really wish he would stop just saying stuff like, if they do this, we're going to have a problem. We're going to do this. Don't say that. Just say what you always say. We're going to talk it out and try to be diplomatic. And say that. And talk. But don't come out and say, I'm going to put a red line, and then they step over the red line and you don't do nothing. When you say Assad needs to go, and he's bombing and killing his own people with his chemical weapons, which everybody was outraged on, and we're going to do so, we find out, and then you don't do nothing. And then you say Assad must go, and Assad's still sitting there, you know, 2-3 years later. Then what do you think Assad thinks of Obama? He ain't going to do shit. You know what I mean? And that's mm-hmm. why I said, we need him to buck up. And I'm not saying go over there and bomb him, but I'm saying when you say something, back it up. Because if you don't, dudes don't, they don't respect you. That's why Putin's doing what he's doing, because he knows Obama won't do nothing. Obama's going to talk. You know, it's like if my mother talked to me all the time and told me she's going to put me in a room and punish me, I'd been happy. I'd been a badass kid. But when I knew I was going to get that lash, I was going to get stripped down to nothing and get whooped with that lash, no, sir. Nah, don't want none of that. I'm going to do what you say. I don't even want no trouble with you. I don't want none. And that's why I'm saying he got to start doing it. You know, that's the only thing that kind of bothers me about this whole foreign policy thing. And, you know, I ain't too strict on Kerry either, but he all right. But, you know, like, so, you know, that's all the political things I got. But I can tell you what, I'm just watching this whole thing burn. Watching this Obamacare burn. All these Democrats went away from Obama and Obamacare burn. I'm telling you, I hope. If you don't like it, I have hope that in November, let it slam it. Do what you got to do. And I'm going to ask you a question here. What was up on your man Elijah Cummings yesterday? He flipped out yesterday.
Who?
Did you see it? Elijah Cummings.
No.
He sent it. You ever seen him? You know who I'm talking about, right?
No. Who's Elijah Cummings?
Oh, my God. He's a black guy. I think he's Maryland or something like that. I don't know. Elijah Cummings, just look it up. It's Elijah Cummings. He flipped out on Daryl Issa. He got bad for it. Ooh, he got mad. Flipped out. I don't know. Senator or nothing. Nice, big thing. He flipped out. I was like, he flipped out. But like I said, man, it's getting intense. I can't wait till November. It's going to be some sad. It's going to be sad. It's going to be some sad donkeys. Might be some sad elephants too, but I think it's going to be some sad donkeys. I just don't know. Like I said, this Obamacare is crazy. But anyway, you my man, 100 grand, Jerry. Like I said, man, we are going to, Corey has not joined us, so that's it. That's my man, though. Always be my man. He's just not a good interviewer. He must be shy. So, with that being said, the 14th, March 14th, ladies and gentlemen, March 14th, is that next?
Yeah, talk up, Mac. I think you're fading away.
I'm sorry. The 14th, March 14th is next Friday, I think. That's next Friday. Friday we will have the CEO of Ball Up.
Again.
Ball Up. Yes, we will have him on Demetrius. We will have him on live and living color. And I am working on that now to just make sure I remind him, because we had his insurance booked about 2 months ago. So I'm going to make sure that's all squared away. And you already know, Jerry, what the question I'm coming at. Is y'all coming to the Goodman, bringing them boys down there to play them? That's all I want. I want that rivalry back. Like I said, tune in next week. Jerry, thanks for being my host, man. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you.
Always a pleasure.
And we will have Vol CEO next week. And until then, Jerry, have a great week. All you guys have a great week. Go to TrinityWebSolutions.org. Go over there and open up an account today. And with that, I think we are out, Jerry. I will talk to you later.
See ya.